3 weeks ago, I was all prepared to preach this. I had been going over it all afternoon. It was all fresh in my mind. And then we had the power outage right before service started. And I said, okay, well, we'll do it next Sunday. I was thinking to myself that this message was all prepared. I didn't need to do anything. That Sunday afternoon, I would just go over my sermon notes and refresh my memory, and all would be fine. So I went to pull out my sermon notes last Sunday afternoon. I didn't make any sermon notes. Oops. But it was still pretty much all there. So I said to myself, you better write these things down. So this week I did have sermon notes to go back over. Thing of it was, that in the introduction to the message, I was going to talk about some clothes that I was going to wear that Sunday morning. Now, it's 3 weeks ago when I was preparing what I was going to wear. I had bought a brand new light blue dress shirt that week at Kmart. It was one of those box deals. You get a tie with it. And I really didn't want a tie. If I get another tie, I think I'll scream. I have two tie racks, and they're both overflowing. Every time you open the door, a tie falls down on the floor. It's that bad. But it was the only shirt that I could find in my size, that color. So I bought the tie, and I said, okay, I'm going to wear this light blue shirt. I have a navy blue sport jacket that I'll wear with it, and I have navy blue dress pants. Now, the dress pants and the jacket, it's not a suit. The colors are not exactly the same. But if you're more than 2 feet away, the difference is so slight you won't be able to notice it. Seriously, you have to look in real close to see that there's a difference. But if you look real close, you can see a difference. So I got up that morning after I got showered and everything. I came out and I put the new shirt on and the new tie and grabbed the trousers out of my closet. Now, you've got to understand, in my closet, 5-6 feet wide, there's a light in the ceiling. But there's a shelf that runs from one side to the other. And Carol has it stacked full of stuff. I don't even know what's up there. And consequently, the light does not penetrate too much to the clothes that are hanging underneath the shelf. You can see the front edge of what it is, and it's not real bright in there. Of course, the person picking out the clothes sometimes is not real bright either, but that's another story. Anyway, I said to myself, I don't want to put my jacket on right now. I'll just wait till it's time to go to church. And right before we left for church, I ran in my closet, grabbed the jacket, put it on. We came over here thinking all was fine until I got out of the car. And then in the light of the sun, I looked down and I said, we've got a problem. I didn't grab the navy blue pants. I got black pants. And it wasn't even close. It looked horrible. So what am I going to do? I don't have time to go run home. I just said to myself, stand behind the pulpit. But I was convinced when I left the house, absolutely certain, that what I had picked out was just absolutely appropriate. I was deceived. Self-deceived. You know why? Bad lighting. Whenever there's only a little amount of light, it's difficult to see clearly. Our passage that I'm going to deal with tonight in 1 John chapter 2 is a passage that deals with light and darkness. It really deals with the issue of a profession of faith as compared to a confession of faith. Now, what's the difference between a profession of faith and a confession of faith? Well, a preposition. Con is with. If you confess something, you are saying the same thing or saying with another person the same thing. If you profess, pro is toward. You are giving out a confession or a profession, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same as the person who's receiving it. There doesn't necessarily have to be an agreement between. I can profess anything, but that doesn't make it accurate. I professed to myself that morning that I was dressed appropriately. Light revealed error. and I had to deal with it. I want you to read along with me our passage. It's 1 John chapter 2, and beginning at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. That sounds confusing. An old commandment, a new commandment. Light, darkness, love, hate, all kind of things contrasting or contradicting each other. How in the world are we going to make sense of it? Well, to begin with, we need to go back and set the context of what John is talking about here. If you go back into the first couple of verses of chapter 2, especially verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He's talking about the genuineness of a person's profession of faith, whether it is an accurate confession of faith. And he says the way to tell is if you keep his commandments. In Luke chapter 10, there was a man, a lawyer, that came to Christ. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, what's it say in the Old Testament? And he said, well, the issue is this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, you got it right. It's interesting that a lawyer, a scribe, would ask him that question, because later on, at the very end of the earthly ministry, the whole bunch of them came together and they said, of all the 613 commandments, which is the greatest? And Jesus answered with the very same answer that this lawyer gave at this point in time. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And then he would say, on these two hang all the rest of the commandments. So the lawyer is answering correctly. But then Luke records this, but the man wanting to justify himself said, well, who is my neighbor? He knew that he wasn't loving God with all his heart, nor could he. He wasn't loving his neighbor as himself, nor could he. So he was looking for a way of getting around what was necessary for him. And if he could narrow down who his neighbor was, he could say, well, I love this one, but not that one, and hopefully say, well, I've met the deal. Well, here John is saying, if we keep the commandments, you know what's natural for us to do? Which ones? What commandments do we need to keep in order that we might know that our profession is a confession? Well, it's this that John is writing about as we get to verse 7. And the first thing he says is this. A genuine faith is demonstrated in a consistent obedience to an old commandment. I want to take you back and I want to remind you of what the Old Testament law required. Loving God and loving your neighbor. On that, everything else hung. The essence of God's will can be summed up in just one word, love. Love God, love your neighbor. If you're doing that consistently, truthfully, honestly, there's evidence that your profession of faith is a confession of faith. Well, you're saying, wait a minute, Pastor, aren't you putting us under the law then? Well, no, I'm not. Neither is John. Much of the Old Testament law is repeated in the New Testament as part of God's will for us in this dispensation of time. For example, one of the commandments, thou shalt not steal, is found in the New Testament. honor your father and your mother is found in the New Testament. Thou shalt not covet is found in the New Testament as part of God's will. And why do you do those things? Well, if you genuinely love people, you're not going to steal from them. If you genuinely love your parents, you're going to honor them. Children are going to obey them. These are all things that hinge upon whether a person genuinely loves or not. And consequently, we're not dealing with being back under the old Mosaic law. We're under New Testament commandments that God has given for His will in this time. But we're also dealing here not with how to obtain salvation by keeping the law, but how to demonstrate salvation. In verse 3, hereby we do know. The moment you make a profession of faith, God knows the heart. You don't have to prove to Him whether you really mean it or not. He knows. Sometimes you can deceive yourself. As I read in that missionary letter this morning, here was that one girl who, over in Hong Kong, said that she had trusted Christ. And when they started investigating her faith and talking to her about it, she herself realized that, hey, I really haven't trusted Him at all. I'm trusting in Him plus these other things. If Jim Fritz was here tonight, he could tell you that many times when he was the dean of students at Appalachian Bible College, there would be students that would come, and in order to be a student, you had to sign on your application a testimony that you've trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And they would come saying, I'm a saved person, and they would be sitting in chapel sessions where the gospel would go out, and they'd realize, you know what, I'm really not saved. They were self-deceived. Just like they were wearing a navy blue jacket and black pants. We don't need to prove to God, but we do need to prove to ourselves and to others. And that's what James is talking about in his epistle. He said, I will show you my faith by my works. My works aren't going to save me, but my works will demonstrate that my faith is genuine. And John is saying, I'm not going to write a new commandment to you. I'm writing something that's old. If you go back in the beginning, that's what we've been working under, and it's still effectual today. Question: how well do you love others? That will determine the genuineness of your faith. But then in verse 9, or verse 8, he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Oh, wait a minute. Now, that doesn't replace the old commandment, but a new one. Which thing is true in Him and in you? There's a difference between the old commandment and the new commandment. The commandment is the exact same commandment, but there's a significant difference. In the Old Testament, everything was external. Things outside saying, do this. This is internal. This is true in Him and in you. Because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. What's he talking about? I think he's talking about the demonstration of Jesus Christ in His earthly ministry of loving people. You want to see what love is necessary? Look at the person of Christ. The disciples came and said, shall we call down fire out of heaven to destroy them? No, for God so loved the world. He said, you have heard it of old, it has been said, but I say unto you, and he talks about loving people. Now, that does not mean that you don't have justice or anything else that associated with that. But he says, I want you to be so loving. And he demonstrated it. He went to a Syrophoenician woman, a Gentile. He was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the lady was asking of a miraculous need from Jesus for her daughter. And he said, look, I'm only coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And the Jews were quite willing to confine the goodness of God to their own people. And she said, yes, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs from the master's table. and you've got plenty to go around. And he said, I've such faith I haven't seen in Israel. Here is a woman who's not only professing faith, but she's confessing faith. That's a good thing. And he loved her. He came to a Samaritan woman. Samaritan woman, if you're reading between the lines, was not a very moral person. When Jesus says to her, I want you to go call your husband. Well, she said, I don't have a husband. Well, he said, you've had five. And the one you're with now, meaning a relationship outside the bonds of marriage, you're fornicating right now. That really discredits you. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Nope. He loved her. He came to Mary Magdalene, who had been possessed of seven demons. He loved her. Jesus loved people. When people left him and went away, rejecting him, he didn't say good riddance or don't let the door hit you on the way out. He was heartbroken that they would turn away from him. He loved people. And that's what he's saying here. A new commandment is that now these things that were once external as commandments are now going to be internal as part of a changed life. And that's the second thing. A genuine faith is demonstrated in a consistent application of a new life. Do we perfectly live the life that we're supposed to live? Nope. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Why? There's something in the heart. Well, first of all, there's the Holy Spirit that's there. That was never true in the Old Testament. Well, I shouldn't say never true. That was rarely true in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. But it was often just temporary. That was David's concern in Psalm 51, where he says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I've sinned. I've really messed up my life. And he could depart at any moment. In the New Testament, he is not upon us, but he is in us, the Scripture says. And he is there permanently. And consequently, because of the indwelling Spirit that is permanent in our life, there's a new life that's being generated. It comes from within. How many of you found it difficult to get up this morning? Seriously, you missed that hour. You really didn't want to get up in time. You did, though, didn't you? Why? You said to yourself, well, I gotta. Must. Maybe that was the reason. I tend to believe, though, that your reason for getting up this morning was the Lord who saved me is so important in my life that I love him so much that even though I could really use another hour of sleep, I'm getting up for him. Which is better? A motivation of love from within or a demand from without that you have to do it? Well, I think this motivation from within, it's a new commandment. I want you to love in such a way with from the generating influence of the Holy Spirit. Because the darkness is now past. You saw, Hebrews talks about the Old Testament law being a shadow of things. Well, do you know what a shadow is? It's a blocking of light. But the darkness is now past. The shadows have disappeared. And we're walking in the true light that's now shining. Which brings us to the third thing. A genuine faith is demonstrated in a consistent appropriation of guiding light. He that says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't hate things that a brother might do. Jesus hates sin, but he loves people. But when he says, I hate people, wait a minute, hold the bus. I hate people. Do you know, if I hate somebody really much, I can find the least little offense and say, I have reason not to have anything to do with you. But isn't the New Testament, if thy brother sin against thee, throw him out? No, the first thing is you go to him and seek reconciliation. Do you know why you would reconcile? Because I love my brother so much, I want him back in those good graces. If a person is saying, I'm walking in the light, they're disobeying Scripture. And they're walking in darkness even to now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in. If I would have preached this 2 weeks ago like I was supposed to, it'd be dark outside right now. And what I was hoping to do is to turn out all the lights in here so that it would be completely dark and then say, okay, everybody, follow me. The only problem is we still had the exit lights and you'd be able to see. But the application would be good. I can't do it tonight because there's light outside. And even if I turn off all these lights, there's still sufficient light to follow me. If you're walking in the light, you don't have to worry about stumbling. If it was dark in here and I say, follow me, some of you would trip over the pews. I won't mention any names. I didn't mention any. What are you laughing about? I really meant Shirley. If you're walking in the light, you can see where you're going. And it's easy to follow the person who is leading you. Are you following Christ? Well, the question is, are you walking in the light? If you have sufficient light, which is, I believe, the truth of the Word of God, and you're walking in obedience to His commandments, you're walking in the light, you're not going to be stumbling. If you're not appropriating light, the old Three Stooges thing where Larry says, I can't see, and Mo says, what's the matter? He says, I've got my eyes closed. You're going to stumble. You want to know if your faith, your profession is a confession? How well are you consistently being obedient to the command to love? How well are you consistently applying that new life that is within you and having a change come about inwardly, not because you have to, but because you want to? How well are you appropriating Scripture and saying, okay, here's another area where my life has got to change and where I can do better and do this and not do that? If those are the things that are true in your life, your profession is a confession. If they're not, better ask yourself, have I genuinely trusted Christ? I look around here tonight and I have no reason to believe that there's anyone here tonight that is just emanating a profession of faith and not a confession of faith. Problem is, I can only see you right now. I can't see you in the secrecy or the privacy of your home and when no one else is around, when true character reveals itself. But God does, and you see yourself then. So that's a question I'll leave for you to answer tonight. But I trust you'll have the right one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word again tonight. Thank you for the life that we have that's new in Christ. And that's in us, not external to us. And yet thank you for the fact that your will can be summed up just as it was a couple millennia ago, of just loving you and loving our neighbor or our brother as ourselves. Lord, accomplish in us tonight great and wonderful things, that we might display how great and wonderful you are to the world around us. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week. Now, next week, I have three messages all wrapped up into one to get me back on the schedule.